Hello, everyone, and welcome to Compliance Perspectives. I'm Courtney Nordrum with the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and the Healthcare Compliance Association. With me today is Ahmad Salim. Ahmad is the Regional Compliance Officer for Presence Health in Chicago. Welcome, Ahmad.
Thank you, Courtney.
We know who you are and what you do. Can you tell us kind of how you got into compliance?
Yeah, actually, right after law school, I was interning at the San Francisco Public Defender's Office. I thought I wanted to do public defense work the rest of my life, but I quickly learned that it just wasn't for me. So I had learned about another avenue to use my law degree, and it was in the field of compliance. And my wife was working at a hospital and noticed that they had a position open for both risk and compliance. So I applied and got the manager position at a small health system out in California.
How long were you there?
I was there for a little under 2 years.
So you really had a chance to learn about the ins and outs of compliance and what makes a compliance program tick.
Yeah, it was a great opportunity since I was the only person in compliance within the system. So it made me have to actually learn as much as I could about compliance. And it gave me the opportunity to create my own program and to add things that I thought would bring some change and improvement to our system. One thing would be the compliance survey that we're going to be talking about today.
As Ahmad mentioned, today we're going to be discussing conducting internal compliance surveys in your organization. He spoke at our most recent Compliance Institute in Las Vegas on this very topic. Ahmad, why should we be conducting surveys?
Every good compliance program conducts risk assessments where they reach out to leadership and they ask leadership what they're seeing within their organization. For internal compliance surveys specifically, my focus is to actually engage frontline staff. It gives staff the opportunity to actually speak about what they are seeing and what they're coming up against when it comes to compliance issues on a day-to-day basis, which actually helps the compliance program be pretty proactive, you know, when they look at their survey data.
The main point you're saying is to improve your program.
Yes, the idea would be to get a gauge and a better understanding of where your program stands within your organization, not just on a higher management level, but with actual staff throughout your organization.
When you do this, what is this based on? So if you're identifying weaknesses and you're improving your programs, are you looking only on the 7 elements of the federal sentencing guidelines?
Yeah, the way that I structured a survey was to actually break it down with the 7 elements, right? Asking questions about whether or not individuals knew who their compliance officer was, if they knew about the compliance line, if they know how to bring issues, chain of command, what they felt about education and training, if they're aware of auditing and monitoring and so on. And it was basically structured that way to make sure that we could target if any element we felt was lacking in resources, so then we could then follow through the appropriate response.
So when you're planning a survey, what are the key elements you need to think about?
The first and foremost thing when you actually want to conduct a survey is think about the purpose of your survey. So when you conduct an internal compliance survey, you have to ask yourself, what are you trying to get out of this? And then set yourself a goal for your survey. You know, is your goal to reach every single individual within your organization so you can be really proactive and identify all the weaknesses and strengths you have in your organization? Or is your goal getting a 50% response rate so then you can only attack a couple problems that you're identifying within your organization?
What kind of buy-in do you need from senior leadership?
Senior leadership buy-in is very important. So when I first conducted my very first internal compliance survey, I actually went to our senior management to make sure they knew what it is that I was doing and how I planned to do it and what I planned to do with the information after I'd completed the survey. It gives a sense of purpose to upper management once senior leadership has bought into your survey, because they will then tell senior management the importance of conducting the survey, who will then tell management, and management will then tell the frontline staff, who will then obviously conduct and fill out your survey when you are passing it out.
How do you decide what kind of survey you're going to use, process you're going to use to collect the information?
It's important when you start deciding to actually conduct a survey, what questions you want to ask on your survey. There's a variety of ways you can ask questions, right? You can do true or false, you can do multiple choice, you can leave open-ended questions. It kind of comes down to the organization and the resources you have. I have always done multiple choice questions and true or false because I usually didn't have resources when I was conducting internal surveys. If you have the opportunity to have a larger staff and can actually look at open-ended answers and actually determine what staff is saying, you may be able to go with questions that state, tell us how you feel about the compliance program. But it kind of depends on where your program stands and what resources you have.
How did you get the survey out to those in your organization?
Well, so I did a two-way attack. So we had the survey on a internal webpage. So we used SurveyMonkey. And then I also went to each department and did an introduction at departmental meetings. So I asked managers if I could spend the first 5 minutes of the department meeting speaking about the survey, what I was doing, what the survey was for, and what I wanted to do with the survey information after I'd collected it. And then I brought hard copies for individuals who didn't want to go online or didn't have access to computers to fill out while I waited and gave them about 10, 15 minutes to fill out the survey. And I took that information and then I input the information from the paper copies into SurveyMonkey as well, and then also had a high turnout for individuals online.
You distributed your survey both in person and online.
Yeah, in that case, that method worked for me. It was just easier. Now, there's other ways that you can do your survey, and it just comes down to, once again, the resources you have. If you have the opportunity, you can meet with individuals if you have a large enough staff. You can make phone calls, you can send letters home and ask for a return. It depends on what your organization wants to do. I have found the most success doing it online and meeting with people or departments in person and informing them what it is that I am trying to do.
Did you make the survey mandatory? Or what are some best practices when thinking about if you want to require your employees to take the surveys?
There's a couple things that you have to be aware of. So I didn't make the surveys mandatory, and it doesn't mean that that's the right or wrong way. I just felt that it was more important for me to have staff fill out the survey on their own instead of feeling like they had to. And then another question that people often ask is, do you incentivize, right? If you say you fill out the survey, can they be entered into a raffle for a $20 gift card to Starbucks? That's something I've never done either. Once again, it comes down to what your preference is. I personally didn't want to do that for the fact that there'd be a lot of people entering this raffle prize, and it would just add another step for a person that's by himself running a program. So it kind of comes down to what you feel works for your organization.
Do you feel that without incentivizing people, that you're just getting the people on the polar ends, the people who really like the compliance program or really don't like the compliance program?
Yeah, it's actually an interesting mix of people. So that usually comes about when you only place it online. You get that middle group of people when you go to the department meetings and you explain in a very, you know, simple, easy to understand way for staff to actually see why it's important for them to fill out the survey, right? And that's why an introduction is important. That's why making yourself visible to staff really does help getting those middle people to actually say, oh, okay, let's see what we can do to help out the program.
So it's all about visibility.
Yeah, visibility is crucial. And, you know, you want to make sure that you're not overdoing it with the visibility. So, you know, once in a while, you're going to send out emails, right? Every 2-3 weeks, depending on how long the duration of your survey is. You don't want to start sending out emails to the entire hospital staff on a daily basis, reminding them to take your survey. So there's a good blend and mix of visibility. You just have to make sure that you're, you know, walking that rope and not doing too much and not doing too little.
How long did you leave your survey open?
Well, so it depends on the size of the organization. So I don't want to say that there's one specific amount, but for one that I conducted, it was around 3 months. And it took about 4 months to prepare. It took 1 month to prepare and get the data collected afterwards, 2 weeks on each side, and then the 3 months. So it was about a 4 month process from start to finish to actively conduct an internal compliance survey.
What was the data collection like?
So, you know, in my cases, when you're doing it online or if you're doing it in person, it's two completely different experiences. So when you're doing it with something like SurveyMonkey, it makes it so much easier for you to actually get the data, interpret the data. I mean, you don't really have to do anything. You just have to make sure people are filling out the survey. When you're getting paper copies, same holds true. The only difference is you just have to input the data yourself. And once you input the data, which doesn't take too much time if you're keeping up with the batches as they come in, same thing and same rules hold for the SurveyMonkey. They break down the data, they give you the data, and it's a very easy to understand. And SurveyMonkey is not the only service that does this. There's a wide range of different competitors that you know, do the same thing, that you just can choose and decide which works best for your organization. I just happen to use SurveyMonkey.
Once you've collected all of the data, the next step is to analyze that data. How did you go about analyzing all of the information that you collected?
Yeah, so it's pretty nice when you get it broken down depending on the answer choices that you have. So let's just take, for example, that whether or not staff is aware of the compliance officer, right? It comes down to two simple answers, yes or no. But within the survey, you'll have a couple of questions asking whether or not staff are what their department they're in and what their position is, right? And when I mean position, I mean, are they administration? Are they in finance? Are they a nurse? Are they a physician? So once you start analyzing all that data, you can say, okay, 70% of the organization knows who their compliance officer is, 30% does not. Well, within that 30%, we're learning that 80% of that 30% is currently nurses that make up the individuals who do not know who their compliance officer is. So you're able to dig deeper into the information, which then gives you the opportunity to target your limited resources into educating, say, in this case, nursing staff, who the compliance officer is, which really helps when you're trying to improve your program, because instead of having to now educate the entire hospital in a much more closer look, you can then just target specific areas and say, okay, I know this department needs this, this department needs that. And that doesn't mean you're not educating everyone, but you're able to target specifics for each department.
Are there any pitfalls when you're analyzing data?
Well, you have to make sure, so when you talk about paper surveys, you have to make sure that the data is correct. You have to make sure that there was no confusion, there was no errors in inputting the data. And then anytime you have any data on a statistical landscape, you have to make sure that you understand that there is going to be an error rate that you have to understand. So if you find out that it's a 50-50 split, it doesn't actually mean 50-50, then you have to understand that not everyone may be filling out the survey appropriately. Some people may just fill out the answers. So you have to kind of be aware of that, but at the same time know that typically the surveys are going to be pretty close to being what the percentages make up for in your answers.
So once you've gathered your data and analyzed your data, what do you do with it?
Well, so depending on your organization, you should disseminate your findings. So the worst thing you can do after creating a survey and conducting your survey is A, not analyzing your data, which we just talked about, and B, more importantly, not disseminating and informing the individuals who filled out your survey the data that you've actually found, right? So a couple of things you can do is you can obviously present it to your compliance committee, and it'll be a great talking point in, you know, your compliance committee. Make sure you tell your management team and your senior leadership about your findings as well, and identify key stakeholders who may actually have a part with. An example would be, say, if you have a question about compliance education and you're getting a resounding number of individuals saying that it's not working, it's not great, and they don't think it's worthwhile, speak to your education department and see what you can do to improve upon your compliance education, because, you know, now you've heard the voices of the individuals in the organization, and now you can address that issue. And then staff, give a high level, you don't want to get too deep because it'll just be too long, but give a higher level breakdown of what it is that you found during the survey. And then obviously thank them for their time and let them know that they can always come with you with questions and that you'll be addressing these concerns moving forward.
Once you've disseminated all of your findings, you've talked about your findings, everyone knows and you know what they were. How do you implement the change? What's the next step?
So now you have to start finding what the issues are. So when we talked about in the very beginning, the question was whether or not individuals know who their compliance officer is. Well, if you're able to break down the data and then determine whether or not, say, frontline staff that has that issue, now it's important that you actually take your resources and start educating, right, the staff about the compliance officer. It could be as simple as walking the floors and introducing yourself, not in peak times, but when it's appropriate, introducing yourself to staff so they know who you are, or educating and putting up compliance sign posters in break rooms so individuals know, hey, we have a compliance officer. This is how you reach the individual. So you just want to make sure that you are fixing the areas of weakness you're identifying. And then you also want to make sure that you target the areas of strength that you have as well, because you don't want to put all your focus to the weaknesses and not put anything into your strengths, because what's going to happen is it's just going to flip-flop when you do your next survey, because Now you're not allocating any resources into your strengths. You want to continue to improve your program, and that means your entire program, not just the weaknesses. So, you know, ask yourself why you created the survey and then go from there to actually address any changes you might want to make to your program.
For the entire survey process, how long does it take from the beginning where you're writing questions and thinking about how you're going to implement it until you're actually making improvements and trying to fix weaknesses in your program?
So this is a very subjective opinion on my part, but I mean, when you're talking about creating questions and really thinking about creating a survey to actually implementing change could take close to 6 months. It doesn't mean it's 6 months nonstop, that's all you're doing, but it means, you know, taking time to actually prepare the survey, making sure you're actually thinking through the questions. The worst thing you can do when you're creating a survey is quickly just put something together, thinking that's what you want to do, spend a couple months getting feedback, spend another month analyzing and disseminating your findings, only to find out, oh, I didn't ask the question I wanted to, or, oh, we already knew this, we should have asked that. So it's important that you do take time, and you know, it may sound like a lot of time, but at the end, when you start finding out that you can start targeting your weaknesses and really understanding your strengths by just putting in some of this time, it's a great resource and tool to have, and it's another component of like a risk assessment for your organization that you can put together.
Say it takes 6 to 9 months to go through the entire process. How often should compliance programs be doing internal surveys?
Well, ideally, you probably want to do one every other year, and I base that on my past life as a risk manager when we did the patient of safety culture survey. That was another survey that was sent out to every single individual in the organization, and the idea was to get feedback on how we were doing with patient safety and satisfaction within our organization. So that survey was done every other year, and I kind of saw that survey, and that's where I kind of took the idea of a compliance survey for the organization as well. So my personal suggestion would probably be every other year.
Well, are there any other best practices regarding internal surveys that you'd like to share?
Just the most important thing, and I can't preach this enough, making sure you know what it is that you want to get out of your survey. Understand the purpose, understand your goal, and then base everything you do off of that. Base everything you do off of those two things throughout your entire survey process.
Okay. Well, Ahmad, I want to thank you very much for being with us today and telling us all about internal compliance surveys.
Thank you, Courtney.